Welcome to the Rob and Kale Show. Rob Sanders.
Now, I'm not doing anything flashy, Daddy, but I'm getting results.
And Kale Hall.
The biggest and the best looking is right here. It's been your pleasure.
Rob and Kale Podcast.
Another shame. Every time I play that, I just laugh.
Every time I hear that, I get excited.
It gets me jacked up for the show, by the way. I'll be more jacked up come September the 4th, when Clemson ends Georgia's season before freaking Labor Day.
When Clemson kicks their teeth down their throat.
Yeah. When Clemson smacks Georgia around like the bitch that they are.
Clemson makes them their bitch.
I love the Georgia fans yesterday, man. They were running their mouths about, did you see JT Daniels? JT Daniels threw for 300.
Oh, my God. JT Daniels excelled in the spring game against his own team.
Woo-hoo! Oh, my God. Guess what? He played against your second-string defense, you simpletons. Yeah. Congratulations.
I don't understand a lot about the game.
And they're all talking about, oh, this is going to be our year, by God. This is going to be our year.
Like every year.
God. By the way, I think I tweeted this out the other day, but just a little note for the Georgia fans that are here tonight. You know how Georgia fans are always telling us they're the absolute best since the dawn of time. I found this the other day. The SEC has won 21 national titles in football, basketball, and baseball in the last 20 years. Schools who have not contributed include the newcomers, Mizzou and A&M, the Mississippis, which, you know, they're the Mississippis, Arkansas, and Georgia. So you're one of the perennial SEC blue bloods that you haven't brought shit to the conference in 20 years. Let's have a moment of silence here for the Georgia fans. Okay, that's enough. You bring nothing to the table. Clemson's going to end your season before Labor Day. It's going to be great. It's going to be absolutely great. All right, tonight we're going to do the FPI. Jackpot made a video on this, and I cannot tell you how great that video was. I mean, if I wanted to try to redo that video, I'd have to stand on my head. And that's what Jackpot was doing. Jackpot was literally, he had his arms out like this up against the wall and had the whole thing. It looked like he was upside down, but he wasn't. Jackpot was working out. That's what that video was. And
that was ridiculous.
It was a great video. Great video on that. But tonight we're going to do over and under for the ACC teams. We'll do the ACC teams. But we're going to look at what the FPI says for each team. And we're going to go, is it going to be over or is it going to be under? So obviously you guys can join us here over there and in the chat room and tell us if we're wrong or not. And by the way, Jackpot, we're not doing anything where, oh, I think that's par. Either you're taking the over or you're taking the under, because unlike some shows, we have a set of balls. We're going to actually pick one or the other. So simple as that. We're going to go school by school. Before we do that, though,
our sponsors. Lots of questions over in the comment section. Why do I have a Penn State shirt on? If you've been watching this channel for more than just a cup of coffee, this is a couple years old. Caroline Jackpot goes to Pennsylvania every summer in July. It's tradition, been going every year since 2016. And this is one of my adopted teams. I got this from this particular shirt. It was nice. It's lightweight, yet it's warm. It's cold in here tonight for $15, I think it was, at the Kmart in Wind Gap, Pennsylvania, which, by the way, no longer exists. The Kmart, that is, Wind Gap, Pennsylvania, still exists. That's a town, as it were, but the Kmart closed down last year. So by this, I pay homage to my home away from home, the great state of Pennsylvania, and the Kmart, which no longer exists. So there we go. I mean, it's one of my adopted teams.
Speaking of which, it's interesting you're wearing that shirt because our sponsor, Callaway's Bar and Grill, Mike Muse, who was played lineman for the Gamecocks in the 90s, was recruited to Penn State and actually went to Penn State's camps with Jerry Sandusky, and he legitimately says Sandusky did not try to molest him. So he's kind of that's like him.
Interesting to listen to if any of y'all are subscribed to the Menace to Sports Zach Smith podcast. He dropped one either Thursday or Friday last week. He did a long, it's about a 2 hour long podcast, and that episode, yeah, they talk about why with a guy who was close to that stuff that happened 11 years ago, how that might all not be exactly 100% true.
But well, we don't want to get into all that, but
it's an interesting listen.
Well, Sandusky didn't touch Mike Muse, and he'll tell you if you go and see him at Callaway's, he was upset by that. But go there and have some wings, some beer, all kinds of good stuff. Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia, callawaysbarandgrill.com. Also, we have DNC Trucking and Transport, the Fireside Chats with Uncle Kale. Jackpot, please tell us a story, sir.
Tell me a story. All right. It sucks to be a Gamecock. It's been 2,326 days since my team has beaten Clemson on the football field. Did you know that Clemson won a national title before my Gamecocks won a bowl game? Did you know my Gamecocks won 3 in a row, top 10 finishes? But anyway, Clemson football has more wins over South Carolina and Columbia than the Gamecocks have in the series. But yep. Remember, it sucks to be a Gamecock. Go Tigers.
That message courtesy of Dennis Wilson, DNC Trucking and Transport. By the way, I've fixed Virtual Kale. Virtual Kale joins us this evening.
Oh, good. I thought he was.
Yeah, there you go. Virtual Kale joins us this evening. Virtual Kale, what do you think of Dennis
Wilson? Did you take him to the shop or did you fix him yourself?
I had to fix him myself. I mean, we have a shoestring budget here, so I'm not putting him.
Oh yeah, that's
going to the dealership.
Hey, well, don't tell everybody about the goddamn shitty financial shape we're in. Are you doing that to maybe pander to us to get some of those old super chats?
Yeah, we get some of the super chats to help fund Virtual Kale. But Virtual Kale, what do you think of Dennis Wilson and the wonderful stories that he sends us for Jackpot to read?
Fuck him. I don't ever want to see the motherfucker again.
You need to calm down with all that. He's a sponsor for the show, sir. You need to calm down.
I fucking hate him.
I'm sure that you do. Jackpot likes him. Jackpot likes him, so you need to calm down, okay? All right, Virtual Kale here is joining us this evening as I fix the Virtual Kale system here, so we'll have that. All right, so let's get started on this Jackpot, and we're going to start right at the top here. As we look at the FPI now, the FPI is the power index ratings from ESPN. Now, the way that they do this, it's basically a computer simulation. And what they do is they take what they think is coming back from last year and they add into the mix there the schedule and everything else is basically what it boils down to. So we're going to start at the top and work our way down, Jackpot. They've got Alabama projected to win. And I'm laughing at my wife who has some bags on her feet. She's doing some kind of treatment on her feet. And she's she's walking across the living room. It's hilarious. Anyway, 11 wins for the Crimson Tide this year, Jackpot. Alabama, of course, starts the season with Miami at a neutral site. Or no, they play at Miami. I'm sorry. I think that's what it looks like here. Mercer at Florida. Southern Miss, Ole Miss at Texas A&M, at Mississippi State, Tennessee. LSU is at home for them. They play New Mexico State, Arkansas, and then they're on the road at Auburn. 11 wins, Jackpot. Are you taking the over or the under, sir?
Probably would be inclined to take the over. I don't see a slip up there. I don't see anyone on that schedule being good enough to knock them off. I mean, we know they're going to be good defensively, and offensively, I think they'll be fine. They've recruited great. They're just loaded with NFL talent on both sides of the ball. Future NFL talent, anyway. So yeah, I don't know. 11 wins. I don't know where they're figuring in a loss at. I don't see one.
Well, to me, it's very simple here. And people that bet against Nick Saban are poor. That's kind of how I look at it. So until someone unseats Alabama, I'm going to go with Alabama with the over. Remember, we're not doing this here.
On Friday, on your show, on the Fox channel, you played some clips of Nick Saban kind of being a dick to a reporter or two.
Yeah.
As a reporter, and I don't understand all about the etiquette of why you guys do what you do, but if that was me, that would piss me the fuck off. And what's to stop one of those reporters from asking?
What would piss you off? Nick Saban saying that to you, or you being
disrespectful? I mean, that's part of your fucking job. I mean, that's why you get paid the damn money that you do. You can't just go out there and be a fucking dick. I mean, what's to keep one of them from just out? Why wouldn't one of them say, why are you skirting around the question? Why do you have trouble just answering a simple question that I ask you?
Well, if you notice,
I mean, do they get buried if they do something like that? I mean,
I think that, first of all, let's just be honest about this. If the university doesn't want you in that press room, they're not going to have you there. But Nick Saban also picks his spots, and he generally goes after young reporters. He wouldn't say that shit to me. He wouldn't say that shit to Christopher Thompson, who I work with, or Teddy Hefner, or any of that, because we'd be point blank. Coach, I'm doing my job. I'm asking you the questions that when I cover your team, this is stuff that we want to know. I mean, you can give me an answer or not. And what's he going to do? Is he going to make me run the fucking stairs? I mean, I'm not scared of Nick Saban. He's 5'2", for God's sake. I'll slam dunk his stupid ass. So, what do you do, get his lineman to beat me up? I mean, he likes to beat on people that he knows that the reporter that asked him, he sounded like he just got out of the J school. And he sounded like, hey, this is my first question I'm asking Nick Saban.
Kind of like picking on the show the slow short kid in class.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It just doesn't work. But you know, when you also win as much as Saban does, you can be a jerk, and no one cares. So there's that. All right. So we both agree that Alabama, we're going to take the over. The next team on our list here would be my computer's being silly. All right, so the next team would be Texas A&M. They've got Texas A&M. Now, Jackpot, they got them at 9.6, so I think that we're going to do it just round up when it's at 0.5 or better. So 10 wins for Texas A&M. You taking the over or the under, sir?
Their non-conference games are against who?
I've got there. I'll give you the schedule. They've got Kent State,
Colorado.
They got Kent State, Colorado, and New Mexico, and Prairie View A&M. What a pussy schedule A&M is playing.
I look at that, it's ridiculous. I mean, as long as he can find a quarterback to continue doing what they've been doing, I take the over. I really do.
So you think
who do they play from the east besides the Gamecocks?
Missouri. They go to Missouri.
Okay. Yeah, that's a win. I go over.
Man, I look at that non-conference schedule. The only game, there's two games on there that look like could be problems. They have to go to LSU.
Uh-huh.
And they play Alabama at home. They've got Auburn at home. You know what? I'm gonna go with the over too. Their non-conference schedule is horse piss. So give me Texas A&M and the over. Next team on the list.
We got some Bama folks. It's like the ears start burning. I mean, we don't ever hardly have Bama folks on here, but you start talking about Nick Saban, here they show up like them. I don't know. Roll MF and Tide says, well, reporters shouldn't ask the same damn question over and over and expect the results to be the same. they are about the same as the dumbass media. Okay, well, they kind of are. That makes sense. So, but
hold on, let me
the guy wasn't asking the same damn thing over and over again. He was just asking about a particular player.
Yeah, he was asking about who was the first since Bryce Young was going to take the snaps with the ones is basically what he asked him.
Yeah,
and it's like he didn't treat the guy right. I don't give a shit what anybody says. G Bama Boy says Saban is protected by Secret Service. Rob, you'll get a knock at your door tomorrow. Whatever. I mean,
he's pretty much on the same asshole level as old Coach Gay up there at Duke, who decided to get nasty with the one of their own students, last basketball.
You can be polite. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and we're not talking about this. Is the other thing too? What made it even more of a dick move was this is not freaking Iron Bowl week. This is not true. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about spring practice, and you're railroading a guy in spring practice. You're playing your own self this weekend, and you can't be halfway freaking cordial to people. Come on, man. Just be better than that. And by the way, I'm tired of people, and I don't like to. That are out there right now that they're just like, oh my God, Nick Saban is the absolute best. And I'm not saying he's not a great coach, but let's just step out of the box for a second. He's not very nice to people, especially in the press room. Okay, he may be Mother Teresa away from there. I don't know about that. And I know that he builds and he does a lot of stuff with the young folks there, but you could be a little bit more, you know, just halfway decent in the damn press conference. I don't get it. And he's been doing this for years. So
speaking of A&M though, definitely when South Carolina finally gets that win over them, I mean, it's going to be, it's going to be historic and it probably be pretty bad for them. It's going to be like a damn double drop kick to the face because they've had it coming for years.
Well, you know, you're still waiting on that first one. So, anyway, I'm taking Texas A&M with the over. That's where you are as well, right?
Right.
All right. And the next team that's listed here, the Georgia Bulldogs, they've got them at 9.5. So we're going to go 10. Georgia's schedule, just for the fun here, they start with Clemson. They play UAB, South Carolina at home, go to Vanderbilt. They play Arkansas at home. They go to Auburn. Kentucky's at home. They play Florida and Jacksonville. They get a week to prepare for that. They have Missouri at home. They play at Tennessee. Then they have Charleston Southern and Georgia Tech. 10 wins, over or under jackpot, according to the FPI. Which way are you going to go?
I'm taking them. I'm going to take them at 10 wins. I'm going to say that's right. I'm going to say that's about right on the money.
We said we can't do that, jackpot. Remember? I said at the beginning. Remember we have a set of balls? We're not going to take the over or the under, man. Yeah, one way or the other.
Unpopular as an opinion to me, I'm going to take okay, Gator fan over on YouTube. South Carolina will not be A&M in our lifetime. give me a fucking break. When I was a kid, I mean, I never saw Virginia in that losing streak against Clemson. But they finally did, and they beat the hell out of them several years in a row. It doesn't mean that we're going to actually own the series against them. But South Carolina will beat Texas A&M. They should have beaten them two times, as a matter of fact, during this six-game losing streak. So you can go suck on a fat one. I'll take the under. I really will. They're starting 0-1. I think they lose a game to the West. I think they maybe drop that Auburn game on the road, even though bad attacks on. But it pains me to say anything positive about Auburn. I see them screwing up there, and I see them screwing up against somebody in the SEC East. I just do. I mean, they do that, man. They choke I see it. And so with the Clemson one in there, which is not, you know, the norm for a non-conference game for Georgia, to me, that's a built-in loss. That's Clemson's home away from home, Bank of America Stadium. We're absolutely going to mollywop them week one. They'll wish that they were still practicing for another week. And I can see a couple more there. So I'm going to go with the under. I'm going to go out on a limb with that one. But I'm going to go with the under.
Well, I'm going with the under too, simply because Kirby Smart is not what everybody thinks he is. So
well, he is what I think he's an overrated douche.
He is an overrated douche. That is overrated douche tip is what I was going to go with. But I was trying to be polite.
Douche nozzle.
Douche nozzle. That would be good too. No, I think that Georgia is, they've got him at 9.5, which put, you know, the 10 is tough there. I'm going to take the under. I think that they lose to Clemson and they'll drop a game that they're not supposed to drop. They do it pretty much every year. That puts them at 10 wins right there. So
I can see them dropping that Tennessee game.
That is fucking great. Yeah. All right, Virtual Kale. if they drop the Tennessee game, we won't see Georgia fans for months. We will not see Georgia fans for months. We both agree that both of these teams will be, we got them at Georgia with the under. Up next, Mississippi State. They've got the Bulldogs at 8 wins. The Pirate down there. Let's look at their schedule. Mississippi State opens with Louisiana Tech. They play NC State at home. Then they go to Memphis, LSU at home, at A&M, Alabama at home, at Vandy, Kentucky, at Arkansas, at Auburn, Tennessee State, and Ole Miss. 8 wins, jackpot. Which way are you going, over or under?
I'm going to have to lean with the under just because of that non-conference schedule. I mean, is that a great non-conference schedule? No. But, I mean, they don't play any cupcakes there either. I mean, Louisiana Tech and Memphis are capable of beating Mississippi State. I mean, they probably wouldn't.
NC State could beat them too.
Yeah, I was getting to that.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That to me is a toss-up game. I'm sorry. It just is. So with that non-con schedule, I think they dropped one of those. And I'm sorry. I just haven't seen enough from them. I don't see 8 wins. I mean, I can see them making a bowl. I mean, I see a 6-6, 7-5 team. I do not see 8 wins. I'm sorry.
I agree with Jackpot. I think that they're going to they'll be in the seven win range there. I do think they will win some of the fights after the games. We know they're very good at that.
Blake Robinson is a Mississippi State fan. He says, "My God, what a tough schedule Mississippi State has." I mean, I think you're being a little bit facetious there. I mean, you're not good enough to sit here and throw out stones at those teams, sir. You're just not. I mean, Memphis and Louisiana Tech are teams that are capable of beating Mississippi State. So is NC State. So, I mean, I think it's a weird schedule. Those are teams you should beat, but there are teams that you also could conceivably lose to.
I'm taking the under as well. For Florida Gators, they committed 8 wins, according to ESPN's FPI. The Gators, they have their typical Florida schedule where they don't really play anybody as far as a home-and-home. Let's look here. Florida starts with Florida Atlantic. Then they play at South Florida before welcoming in Alabama. Then they play Tennessee. They go on the road to Kentucky. Vanderbilt, they play at LSU. That's kind of an interesting set there. They play at LSU a week off, and then they play Georgia. On the road at South Carolina, Samford at Mizzou, and Florida State at home. Of course, they got rid of the Kyle Square down there, Trask and Pitts. Jackpot, what do you got? The over and under there, as I said, we're sitting at, what, 8 wins for Florida.
I don't think that I don't think Florida has recruited particularly well. I don't think Dan Mullen's a particularly good recruiter. I do think he is a good coach. I think he's a decent in-game coach. I think that they will develop what they got. I would kind of lean with the over there. That's a pretty soft non-con schedule. Florida State is shitty still.
Yep.
South Florida, shitty. Florida Atlantic, shitty. I mean, they're playing all these just some really soft teams there. And whoever that other one is that you mentioned, Buttfuck State, shitty. None of those teams are any good. I'd go with the over. I know that they have to develop a quarterback there to take the place of Kyle Trask. Emory Jones, who has been in and out of games the past 3 years, kind of a guy who's run it kind of out of the Wildcat formation, who to me, he doesn't look like a start. He don't look like a starting quarterback to me. He's the kind of guy who comes off the bench to try to deliver some kind of punch, try to deliver a little kind of razzle-dazzle, something you hadn't seen, and it really hasn't worked. I don't think that he's going to develop into their next starter. So I don't know. I don't know exactly who they've got young that's coming up, but I think Mullen will develop a quarterback there, and they'll be okay. I would go over that 8 wins. I still think they're better than that, although I don't think they're SEC East championship contenders this year, and I don't think they're particularly New Year's Six bowl contenders, but I think they're better than 8 wins.
Yeah. For me, I think they're better than 8 wins. I like the way their schedule sets up for them, where they get time to prepare. And yeah, I think over 8 wins is good for Florida. Just the way their schedule sets up, and the fact that, you know, Dan Mullen, he doesn't really put out very many shitty teams, to be honest.
They're 4-0 in the non-conference. So
yeah,
I mean, they can pick up 4 wins, in conference play. Easily. And there's 4 wins right there in SEC East with, I mean, to be honest, with my Gamecocks, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, and Kentucky. I mean, and then that there's no reason why they can't find another one somewhere.
Yeah, I think they beat Mizzou too.
So, yeah.
I mean, yeah. Mizzou's right there in the mix too.
Especially if they don't beat them, you know, on the scoreboard, they'll definitely beat them. They'll
win the fight.
They'll win afterwards.
The next team that we have, Aaron, I'm taking the over as well. The Auburn Tigers, of course, led by the offense of a Mike Bobo. Coach Harsin comes down trying to bring the Mountain West to the SEC. They have Auburn at 7 wins. Jackpot, over or under with the Tigers?
Given that non-con schedule, I know that
– I got it right here. Hold on. Let's see here. Auburn's – they play Akron, Alabama State, at Penn State. Look at you sporting that shirt tonight. Georgia State, at LSU. They've got Georgia at home, at Arkansas, break, then Ole Miss, at Texas A&M, Mississippi State, at South Carolina, and then the Iron Bowl.
Okay, well, I definitely think Arkansas has a score to settle with them. I think they're losing that one, mark it down, on the road. Penn State is going to plant a boot squarely upside their ass. They're not winning that one. So I see a couple losses there. You know, we're 7 wins, though.
I like them against Akron, Alabama State. Georgia State is 3.
Yeah.
Ole Miss at home. Lane Kiffin might hang half a hundred on them.
Yeah.
He might.
That's tough. This one. This is a tough one. If I, if I and this new coach, I mean, you don't know what you, I mean, I know this guy's had success at Boise State. It boggles my mind why he didn't bring any of his coaches with him. I don't understand that at all. Shit, man.
It's a tough one.
It's a tough one, and it's one I would like to draw it down the damn middle. But I mean, if you put gun to my head, I think it's I think they got some talent coming back. I'm gonna go over with it. I think Tank Bigsby's a good player. I think that Bo Nix is a good player. Even though he's, you know, gotten a lot of shit, I'd go over that. I'd go over the 7 wins. I'd give him 8 wins this year. But no, yeah,
it's kind of hard for me to take the under there and say, hey, they're going to win 6 games. I think they're more capable of getting closer to 8. I like them over Akron, Alabama State, Georgia State. That's 3 wins. I think they can beat Ole Miss, maybe. Mississippi State will be interesting. I think they can beat South Carolina in theory. Yeah, I'll take the over there. I think they're going to lose to Alabama. I think that they're going to lose to LSU, and I think they lose to Georgia, and then they'll lose to Georgia. Man, that puts them right at 8, though. Man, that is really hard.
So they got to win all those swing games.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, I know we don't want to do the pussy thing here and go with it, but I think that's probably about spot on.
I'll take the over with you. That way, if we both either we'll both look smart or we'll both look stupid. We'll go down together either way. LSU is the next team listed in the FPI here. They've got the Tigers at 7 wins. Jackpot, their schedule stacks up like this. LSU plays at UCLA, which congratulations to LSU for scheduling non-conference games on the road. That's teams need to do that more often.
Out of state.
Yeah. They're going across the fucking country to open the season. I mean,
well, it's not shit. All the way across the country for them. It's like 3/4 of the way across.
Well, it's across the country from us. Everything evolves around, you know, around us here, Jackpot. They play McNeese State, Central Michigan. They go to Mississippi State. They have Auburn at home, Kentucky on the road, Florida at home, Ole Miss on the road, break, and then Alabama on the road, Arkansas, and Louisiana Monroe, followed by Texas A&M. I don't know who the quarterback is going to be. I've been following the YBS podcast down there, and, you know, everybody talks about how it's going to be Brennan, who was the kid that got hurt, but then they had the other guy that came in and led them to a win down at Florida. You've also got the guy that lit South Carolina up like a Christmas tree, but they think he's going to be the third string guy. So they're not really sure who their quarterback is going to be yet. Also, you've got stuff hanging over LSU with the stuff with Darius Geis. And I mean, it's just been a shitty season down there. And Coach Orgeron had the interview of the millennium a couple weeks ago where he's like, yeah, I didn't even interview some of my assistant coaches. So Ed Orgeron is not very fucking bright. I mean, why would you tell people? I mean, I would never put that out there. That is the dumbest shit I've ever heard.
Well, so, Rob, I don't think anybody ever accused him of being, you know, head of valedictorian or, you know, any of those high water marks as far as brainiac power goes. So
Brock says the UCLA game was canceled. I don't know about that yet. Let me check that out, Brock, because that may help me with my thinking here. Let's see here. LSU at UCLA football. Let's see here. No, I mean, it says everything I've got here says that it's up. So I don't know. We're picking with the knowledge that they're going to UCLA. Jackpot, 7 wins, over or under?
What are the other non-conference games you say besides that one?
McNeese State, Central Michigan, and Louisiana Monroe. So shithole, okay. Shithole, and shithole.
And then in the East, they play Florida, the correct?
They've got Kentucky and Florida. They go to Kentucky, by the way.
I'd go with the over. I think they bounce back. I think they win all those non-conference games. Yeah, they go to UCLA, who's not. I mean, UCLA's dropped two games in 2 years to Cincinnati at home and on the road. And I'm not laughing about Cincinnati, but, I mean, UCLA is a Pac-10 program that plays in the fucking Rose Bowl. And they're losing to Cincinnati. Bad. I think LSU beats them. I think they beat Kentucky. And then I think they pick up another couple wins. I'm going over that. I think they bounce back a little bit.
I think LSU's recruited well. So just on their recruiting, I think that they've got enough talent to get 8 wins, even though I think 8 wins gets Ed Orgeron fired. I think that's kind of the way things are going to go down there, to be honest with you, because there's the stuff that happened with Darius Geis. If he didn't win a national title, he probably would have been fired anyway, in my opinion. But I'm in the camp of I'll give them the over. So both of us have the over for LSU. Jackpot, we've yet to disagree yet. I don't know what the hell
Gator, that is. Gator fan over there on YouTube says A&M's new quarterback is more athletic than Justin Fields. Okay. Oh, I bet he could toss a football over those mountains right there, too.
He threw him right over them mountains right there.
USC Gamecock fan, nice comment here. Will look like a completely new team now that UFGA agent Muschamp is gone. And also Courtney Washington, shout out to Shane Beamer and good luck on the upcoming season. I can feel something special is brewing. I feel you, sir. I smell what you're cooking. I really do. And I talked about that last night in the video that Shane Beamer just seems to be, he feels to me like a guy. And I often said this when I heard Matt Rhule talking, that I felt like Matt Rhule was a kind of guy who just feels like your neighbor from down the street, just feels like somebody that you knew from high school. There's some type of dude that you could sit here and just shoot the shit with and doesn't feel like, you know, he's, above you or above his players or above anyone else or at a certain level. It just feels like someone that anyone could connect with. And I think that's very important in being the face of a program. So I'm solidly, you know, it's not often that I say things like this, but my rants in late November, I take back all the negative things that I said. And I say this right now, and I swear to God, it's come out, and I'll go out and I'll shout it off of any mountaintop. I take back the negative things I said about Shane Beamer when they were bringing him into the fold. I didn't want him. I thought that with him not being a coordinator, that made him somewhat less of a coach. I'm sold on the guy now. I like him. I really do. All he's got to do now is go lose to fucking East Carolina, and, you know, I'll probably fucking hate his ass. But for right now, I like him.
Well, yeah.
It's going to be a home run hire in time, or it's going to be a disaster.
There you go.
I'm surprised I still had that clip. That shit still makes me laugh.
It's going to be a home run hire in time, or it's going to be a disaster.
I think he's going to be a grand slam.
Oh my God.
You better be shitting me.
Anyway, moving along here. We just finished up with LSU. We're both taking the over. Ole Miss, they have them at 7 wins. Over or under, Jackpot, for Ole Miss?
Okay. You know the drill. Throw out that non-con schedule for me. Mm-hmm.
I got it right here for you. Ole Miss is non-conference schedule. They play Louisville. Austin Peay, Tulane, and Liberty. Oh, that's an interesting thing there.
Where's that game at?
That is at home.
Okay. All right. I think they win that one. I think they do. Louisville, where's that game played at? That's interesting.
That's a neutral site game.
Where the fuck are those two playing the neutral site game at? Shreveport?
No, it's going to be in the Georgia Dome, if I remember correctly.
Oh my
I'm looking at the helmet schedule, but
the people of Atlanta and surrounding areas are lining up to buy tickets to that. Okay, I give them a win there. I think they go 4-0 with that. I like what Lane Kiffin did last year. I would like to see some more defense out of these people. That's usually the case with Ole Miss. The Beach Bum is returning at quarterback. Am I correct?
Matt Corral, yes, sir.
Okay.
He'll probably be one of the top. He'll be either all SEC first team or second team voted on by the media, one or the other.
Yeah, well, whatever. I mean, you look great when you play against defenses who let you have all fucking day to sit back there in the damn pocket and just, I don't know, just decide to take the fucking evening off. A la T-Rob and Chris God. Man, I think he's got him on the uptick, though. I think he's got him on the uptick. I would go over that. Who do they play from the East?
From the East, they've got Tennessee and Vandy.
Okay, that's the wins. That's six wins right there. So, yeah, I'm going over that number.
I kind of agree with you, too. I think that the pivotal game is that Louisville game. If they come out and win that game, then it'll be the over. So keep agreeing on things, Jackpot. On Ole Piss, we've got them going.
I think Liberty's more – I don't know. Between Liberty and Louisville,
I think Liberty's got a better chance than Louisville does, to be honest.
Although Louisville, I mean, I'm not sure who Louisville's bringing back this year, but I'm not – so I think their coach, I liked him. But I'm now convinced that he's a fucking charlatan and a fucking liar, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he lied. I mean, he interviewed for the fucking South Carolina job. He wanted that job. He backtracks with some bullshit. Well, I only interviewed for that because it was close to my parents' home. What the fuck? You don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking the Mel's fruit and peach stand is near where my mom and daddy live at. Doesn't mean I'm gonna put my job in jeopardy and interview for a job as their damn general manager. It's close to my mom and daddy's house. That's bullshit. You don't interview for jobs you don't want, sir. I mean, you just don't. That's dumb. He's a liar, a backtracker. So
yeah, he's not very.
I don't know where he learned that from.
Okay. Now that we've gotten through that, we are up to Arkansas.
Bradley Coon says, Jackpot, without using Google, who are the three alter egos of Mick Foley?
I know these.
Is that not the easiest question in the world between
Don't answer that.
Dude Love and damn Mankind? What the
he's just Brandon's just being silly. Don't humor him with that. Let's talk about Arkansas.
What was your favorite incarnation?
I was more of a Mankind guy. You know what? I kind of like Cactus Jack more because Cactus Jack looked like he would eat your eyeball.
Cactus Jack was crazy. It's very strange for the day and innovative. But I liked the dude. The dude was cool.
Mankind was cool because of George the Rat. Jim Cornette.
The dude was cool. I didn't like it. I thought it was weird. It didn't make a lot of sense. And they were weird. It was kind of dumb when they tried to make the dude a heel. Yeah, if you remember that, he was when Austin won the belt. the first time when he won the belt from Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 14. The dude was who they put him in the damn program with. Right after that, it's like the next big heel. And I mean, he wasn't nobody. That wasn't believable. They should have turned it. They should have turned the Undertaker right then, and put those two in a program together, because that was really the only one that made sense. The Rock wasn't ready yet. Either that or Triple H.
Are we taking Arkansas with the over or under 6 wins here, Jackpot? Now, we got to think about this, because the schedule for Arkansas sets up like this. They play Rice, Texas, Georgia Southern, 3 straight games at home. They go to Texas A&M. They play at Georgia and Ole Miss. So then my brain's stupid. They have Georgia, Ole Miss, Auburn, Arkansas, Pine Bluff. I don't even know where. What the hell is Arkansas Pine Bluff?
Pine Bluff is a city in Arkansas, and they have a campus of the University of Arkansas there, kind of like University of South Carolina Upstate.
Jesus, Jackpot. I'm just saying, I don't know how Arkansas Pine Bluff ended up on the schedule. Mississippi State,
they're
on the
rest of the
okay. At LSU, at Alabama to wrap up the season, followed by a home game with Mizzou. So 6 wins. That's a tough one. Are you going 6? Are you going over or under on the 6 for Arkansas, Jackpot?
I kind of tend to go under on that. I mean, they did okay last year, but I mean, they'll be ushering in a new quarterback. I'm pretty sure that Felipe.
No more Beans and Franks. Oh man,
Beans and Franks was like fucking 30, man. I mean, he can't play.
Give a shit.
Once you start drawing Social Security, you can't play college football anymore. Damn, he's too old. So I think that they'll be replacing him. That non-conference schedule. It's kind of tough. I think Texas beats them, and that would be a decent game. But I think they dropped that one. I think they beat the Pine Bluffers and Rice. And who was the other non-con?
Another non-con for Arkansas.
Was it Tulane?
Texas, Georgia Southern, and Arkansas.
Georgia Southern's a team that's capable of upsetting somebody. They probably beat them. So I think probably 3-1 there in the non-conference. But it looks like they got some decently tough draws from the East. I think
they go to Georgia and they get Mizzou.
And Mizzou, I think Mizzou will be out for a little bit of revenge on this year. That was kind of. Yeah, that was a back and forth game last year. Mizzou kind of dropped that one. A lot of people aren't sold on that either. They're like, they think
Mizzou win that game last year.
Huh?
Won that game? I thought Mizzou won that game last. I thought Mizzou won that game last year.
No, maybe they did.
I don't know. I'm looking it up right now. I mean, I'm not questioning you. I'm just saying I thought that they did because
they did. You're right. So there's no revenge factor there. A lot of people think the revenge factor is overrated. A lot of people think that it has validity.
That was the 50-48 game where the trophy kicker.
Arkansas should have won that game. Honestly, they led the whole game, and
Under or over 6?
Under.
Under?
Under, I think they take a little step back. Well, it's not a step back because they only won 3 last year, but I'm not buying into all that hype. Yeah, I don't think they're good.
Yes, sir. Now I'm going with the under.
Yes, sir.
I hope they tell him, yes, sir, pack your bag. God, noise the shit out of me. All right, yes, Jackpot. Sir. Holy shit. Mizzou is the next team we're looking at here. God damn. Mizzou, they play non-conference schedule. Mizzou's a fucking – they're a strange team. Mizzou plays Central Michigan. And they go on the road to Kentucky. They play Southeast Missouri. They play at Boston College. Then they have Tennessee, North Texas. They go to Vanderbilt, to Georgia. Play South Carolina at home, followed by Florida and Arkansas. And they have them at, 7 wins? Over or under, Jackpot?
No Larry Roundtree. Quarterback.
No Nick Bolton.
No Nick Bolton, no Larry Roundtree. Quarterback's decent. Wide receiver room, decent.
Kicker's outstanding.
Who?
Kicker's like the kicker's outstanding, by God.
Okay. You don't know that.
Their kicker is a big fat guy that's out there kicking fucking field goals. He's fucking great.
I kind of want to lean with the under that.
Under seven.
I think it's a 6-6 team. They go on the road, and I don't give a lot of props to them. I'm not a big conference guy. I'm not a conference chest-beating guy, okay? But I see them going on the road and losing to Boston College. I'm high on Boston College. I like their quarterback. I like their head coach. I like what they're doing there. I see them losing that game. And I could see them dropping some, they got Texas A&M, did you say?
They got Texas A&M. They have to play them at home.
Yeah.
They go to Georgia, and they've got Florida at home, and then they go to Arkansas.
Yeah, I think the Texas A&M game's a loss. I think the Arkansas one is a dance. That's a toss up there.
They also go to Kentucky, by the way. That's another game.
Okay. It's probably a win. It's tough. I'd go under on that one, though. They overachieved last year. I think they underachieved a little bit this year. I think they underachieved a little bit this year.
I'm going to take, for the first time, I got Mizzou winning 8 games. I think Mizzou's going to win 8 games this year. I like them over Central Michigan, Kentucky, Southeast Missouri, North Texas is 4 wins. I think they beat Vanderbilt for 5, South Carolina for 6, Arkansas for 7. The swing game is that Boston College game for 8 or Tennessee. So, yeah, give me Mizzou with the over. First time we disagree. I like Coach Drinkwitz. I think he'll be the SEC Coach of the Year, as Mizzou will be in the hunt for the East race late in the season.
Okay.
So Jackpot's got him under, and I've got him over. By the way, all of this will be posted up on our brand spanking new website, robinkaleshow.com. So you can go back and mock us later on. When we come back at the end of the season, we'll revisit this because we'll have a nice record of it there at robinkaleshow.com, where we were and how they finished up, because we're going to revisit the FPI at the end of the year too and see how accurate it was. So, I've got that printed out. So we'll have that so we can say, hey, the FPI, was it close, you know? So that'll be fun too.
For the record, right. Rob got into my stash of that purple stuff. And fired a little bit of it up before he made that last prediction. But anyway.
That's all right. Kentucky is the next team on the list here. The Wildcats are projected to win 7 games. Jackpot, Kentucky plays Louisiana Monroe, Chattanooga, New Mexico, and Louisville in their non-conference schedules. They have home games with Mizzou, Florida, LSU, and Tennessee. Road games at South Carolina, at Mississippi State, at Vandy, and at Louisville. 7 wins, over or under for Coach Stoops?
I go over just because of that non-conference schedule is ridiculous.
I mean, it's pretty shitty.
It really is. I think that. Once I got to look at the roster and see what they got coming back, skill player.
Well, I mean, it's the same story every year with Kentucky. They don't have a fucking quarterback. They're going to play pretty good defense throughout the year, and they'll be winning games, you know, 19 to fucking 14 and shit with, you know, some whoever they can find to take snaps for them. I mean,
yeah, and then occasionally they'll be the team 41 to 18.
Yeah, with punt returns or some shit. Anyway,
but I mean, I don't know. I got to take a look at that Louisville roster. I don't know who they got coming back, but I think Kentucky's better than them for right now. Until I see what we got, I think they probably they may be better than South Carolina. Maybe
I think that's one of those toss up games for South Carolina because. And we'll get into that, but I mean, that's like the first SEC game or no, the second SEC game for them. And it's, South Carolina. Play right after. We'll get into that momentarily. You're taking the over. I'm going to take the over as well because the non-conference schedule is garbage. Ridiculous. Absolutely hot garbage. I think they beat Vanderbilt and there's in conference. They should beat Vanderbilt. I think they should beat Tennessee. I don't know. Not more and more I look at it.
I mean, they should beat the Gamecocks. I mean, on paper, probably. from the West, they play who?
They've got LSU and Mississippi State. They go to Starkville. That's a tough one.
That's tough. I just they lost to them bad last year though. Yeah. Did Mississippi State butt fuck the hell out of them?
Mississippi State had issues where they were butt fucking some folks and they got butt fucked themselves. I mean, it was
they smacked Kentucky pretty bad though, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a weird one. Or was it Kentucky lost to one? The Kentucky Ole Miss game was the one that was crazy, right?
Yeah, I think so. By the way, 6 win percentage. They have that for every team that's here. To get to 6 wins, they've got Kentucky at 86%, but they've got them at 7 wins overall. So that's interesting, too. 86%, according to the FPI. I'm taking the over. And Jackpot, I think, is rolling with me. Up next is the Tennessee Volunteers. The Vols are projected to win 6.6 games. That puts them at 7 wins, Jackpot. 6 win percentage is at right at 80%. The Tennessee schedule, as we look at it here, Tennessee plays Bowling Green, Pitt, Tennessee Tech, and South Alabama. That is your non-conference schedule. They go to Florida, to Mizzou. South Carolina is at home. They welcome in Ole Miss at home. They play at Alabama, a break, and then at Kentucky, and then they have Georgia. And Vanderbilt wraps up the season. So 7 wins for Tennessee in Josh Heupel's first year.
You just rattled that off right there. I could give you 5 losses right there. That you mentioned in the conference. And I'm not hating on these guys too. I really don't have any kind of disdain for them. Well, I do. But anyway, you rattled off 5 losses there in the conference. And I don't think they beat Pitt. I just don't. I think that's another SEC-ACC matchup that I think goes the way of the ACC. I think Pitt knocks them off in Knoxville. They should win the rest of their non-con games. So you're 3-1 right there, but I don't see them winning 4 games in SEC play. I don't. I think they stand a chance. Against Vanderbilt, but I mean, other than that, I mean, I think they're going to be underdogs in the rest of them. I mean, I don't think Josh Heupel is a proven head coach. I mean, Central Florida got progressively worse every year. This guy coached the team. I mean, he took over, a gold mine and slowly turned it to bronze. And he
didn't even say goodbye to his team. Didn't say goodbye.
Didn't say goodbye to his team, but what he could definitely say goodbye to was a lot of good players on that Tennessee roster. Capital letter A for attrition via either graduation or the transfer portal. The transfer portal opened its mouth up wide and devoured a lot of players off this team. So I'm not sold on that. I won't believe it till I see it. I'm going with under. I think that 6.5, 7 wins, I think that's a sure thing.
When I hear people say Tennessee's just going to bounce right back through all of this stuff, the suspensions aren't going to matter, the McDonald's bag, no one gives a shit, this is automatically what I think of them.
I don't know shit about fuck.
Exactly. When they talk, that's exactly what I'm hearing. Tennessee wins 4 games this year. Give me the under 4.
Eric Simon says Kentucky won't beat Tennessee again. Oh, yes, they will. It may be worse than last year.
You need to make sure with Tennessee fans, and I'm just being as real as I can possibly be with you, okay? With Tennessee, you need to make sure that this season you don't lose to Vanderbilt. And I know people are laughing and they're like, oh my God, I know Vanderbilt didn't win a game last year. I know Vanderbilt had a young lady kicking field goals for them last year. You don't want this young coach from Vanderbilt to come in his first season and beat you, because you talk about shitting on the Josh Heupel era quick. I'm not saying Vanderbilt's going to beat you. I'm just saying don't let that happen. That's what Tennessee's season is. Well, let's not fall behind Vanderbilt. That's basically what it boils down to with all the shit that Jeremy Pruitt left you. So there's that. Give me the under for them. Then we move next to South Carolina. The Gamecocks have a 22% chance to win 6 games. FPI has them at 4.5. That means 5 wins for South Carolina. I've been on the record saying the Gamecocks are going to win 5 games, jackpot. Just to we kind of know their schedule, but they play Eastern Illinois, a team that won 1 game last year. They play at East Carolina, followed by a matchup with Georgia, Kentucky at home, followed by Troy, then a trip to Tennessee, Vanderbilt at home. Then they go to Texas A&M, Florida at home, followed by a road trip to Mizzou in November. And then they play Auburn and Clemson. All right, Jackpot, you kind of talked about this last night. Are you going over or under 5 wins?
I'm going over it, but I just struggle. Like I said, I struggle with, besides Troy and Eastern Illinois, out of the other 10 games, okay, maybe Vanderbilt. Because I think that the roster they have coming back is just sad. Besides those 3 games, I mean, the other 9, I have trouble putting other ones in the bag. I just have trouble putting them in the bag. And people will laugh at me because the East Carolina game scares me. That's a game South Carolina should win, you would think, on paper. Just looking at them, matching them up, talent for talent. But, I mean, it still scares me. I got to go over that, though. I think South Carolina will win that game. But then you got the SEC schedule. I mean, I think Tennessee at home or on the road, at home, wherever it's at, I think that's a game that's winnable. That would put us at 5. So, I mean, you're saying the Gamecocks win 5 games. And, I mean, I'm assuming those are the 5 that you're thinking of and that you think that the rest of them are losses. So, that puts Kentucky and Missouri, I guess, like a swing-type right. games. Auburn is another one.
I've got them beating Tennessee. Yeah. You have them beating Tennessee? Okay.
Yeah, I think Florida is another swing type game. Like I said, I'm not sold on them. I'm not sold on them. I think he'll be okay. I think Mullen will develop a team, but I'm still not. I mean, I'm still not convinced they're world beaters. South Carolina should have beat them last year, and with the shit show that we had. So yeah, I mean, don't chalk that one up as a loss just yet. There's three sure losses on that schedule, maybe four. But then you got eight games that I don't know, man. I'm a homer, so I'm going with 6-6, which, you know, is not anything to beat your chest over. But given the fact that you've won 6 games in 2 years, if you can win it in 1 year, that's a hell of a damn coup for the spawn of Frank Beamer. So give me over for the Gamecocks. I think we're going to shock the world. We're going to surprise some folks. It ain't happening. Okay.
When I look at South Carolina's schedule, and I think that they're a better team than Eastern Illinois. I think that Kevin Harris gets them the win over East Carolina simply because, looking at East Carolina, what they had from last year, East Carolina had games where they were giving up 60 points to some teams. So, you know, maybe as long as Kevin Harris isn't hurt, I think they win that game. I don't think they beat Georgia. I think Kentucky's going to be tough. I think they can beat Troy. So I've got them at 3 wins there. I think they beat Tennessee is 4. I think they beat Vanderbilt is 5. And then it comes down to the set here, and that's the 5 that I had. I don't know if they can go on the road and win at Mizzou. And Gamecock fans get pissed when I tell them that. My Gamecock friends are like, it's fucking Mizzou. Slow down a little bit. All right, you're playing there.
Well, we've really only won there twice. I mean, we won in 2017.
Right.
You know, when Mizzou started that was a weird year when Mizzou started off like 0-6 and then they finished like 6-0. You remember that? And then in 2013, I mean, that was just a really weird game in 2013 where Mizzou was ranked like number 3 in the country, and right. They got ahead of us by like 3 scores, and then Connor Shaw, like the fucking gladiator that he is, came off the bench. He's fucking sick. He's got flu here. He's got the strep throat here. Hell, he probably had COVID 8 years before everybody even knew what it was. And throws like 3 touchdown passes. Like, unfucking believable touchdown pass to Bruce Ellington on 4th and 15.
Wins Connor down. Shaw, as a Clemson fan, I'll say this: Connor Shaw has one problem in his life. And that is a callus. You know what that's a callus on? His fucking nutsack. Because his nuts are so goddamn big, when he gets out on the field in that Gamecock uniform, he just destroys people.
He did. So he definitely.
He's got a fucking giant callus on his nuts. That's my respect. I don't know if I can be any more respectful to Connor Shaw or not. He's got a callus on his nuts, ladies and gentlemen.
He definitely. He definitely brought that big dick energy more than a few times.
Yeah.
Onto the gridiron.
It's like everybody talks about old Jadeveon Clowney this and no. As a Clemson fan, I'm gonna tell you, fuck Connor Shaw till the end of time. Especially when he's playing Clemson. Clemson's so close, and then he'll come out and it's like, I remember there was one game in Columbia, and it's like Clemson was hanging right in there, man. And Connor Shaw's like, he steps back and it's like 3rd down and 2. And it seemed like it was 3rd and 2 all fucking night long. And he's like, oh, you've covered this guy, that guy, and that guy. I'll just run for 4 yards, or I'll run for fucking 11 yards, and I'll just dry dick you all up and down the goddamn field. Fuck Connor Shaw. He has calluses on his nuts, though. So there's that. Anyway.
Eric Twyman says Tennessee, South Carolina is a toss-up. I can buy that. Then Nicterios Gapalos says Tennessee versus Bowling Green is a toss-up.
Thomas Dana Young says, who did he destroy? Thomas Dana Young, go and watch some damn Connor Shaw tape. Connor Shaw beat the shit out of some teams, dude. Connor Shaw was outstanding. Clemson fans don't want to admit it.
Because Sam Young's mad because Connor Shaw quit his coaching job on his team at Furman.
That's a throwback. Wow. Anyway, going back to this season, though, I said point blank, South Carolina's at 5. I also said that, you got to go one way or the other. So I don't see a 6th win. I just don't. So I'm going to take the under.
I do.
And that's so with that, I take the under. Sorry, guys. I do think that they do win 5 games, though, and they're going to be right there in the mix. Our final team that we're going to look at this evening as far as the over and under goes is the Vanderbilt Commodores. Commodores did not win a game last year. The only thing that people remember was Sarah Fuller out there kicking extra points and their coach being shown the door. They bring in another new coach and projected to win 4 games, 15% chance that they win 6. The Vanderbilt schedule, by the way, as we look at it here for the Commodores, they play East Tennessee State. Then they go on the road to Colorado State. What the hell?
Shout out Colin Hill.
Then they play Stanford at home.
Who?
Stanford. Like Stanford. Not Samford, Stanford.
Not Samford.
No.
Not Stanford. Not Stanford, where
West Coast Ivy League team, Stanford. Where the smart kids play. It's like the IQ Bowl. That's what that's going to be. Then they have Georgia and UConn. They play at Florida, at South Carolina, Mississippi State, Mizzou's at home, Kentucky's at home, Ole Miss on the road. That's interesting. The last month of the season in November, they have a bye week. Kentucky's at home, and that's senior day, basically. Because then they go on the road to wrap up the season at Ole Miss and at Tennessee. Shout out to the SEC League office for fucking over Vanderbilt and not giving them an opportunity to, have a home game the last couple weeks of the season. They don't care down there anyway. Vanderbilt's there to help out our GPA. That's why they're there. They had a girl kicker. 4 wins, jackpot. You taking the over or the under? Their schedule... I mean, they're going to Colorado State, and they're bringing in Stanford. Over or under 4? This is hard.
Under. I think they win. I think they win 3 non-conference games. I don't think they beat Stanford. Even though Stanford. Has really ever since what was that guy's name? Dave, what was his name? Davis Love, was that his name? The running back who was like supposed to be a Heisman Trophy candidate a couple years ago.
Stanford had what's his name? Didn't Christian McCaffrey play at Stanford?
Yeah, it was Christian McCaffrey. This was after that. Bryce Love, what was his name?
Oh, yeah,
he turned out to be a big plate full of piss. He wasn't really any good.
Plate full of cold piss, sir. Let's make sure we get it right.
They just have kind of taken a step back, but I still think they're good enough to beat Vanderbilt.
UConn's terrible.
They are. I think, and East Tennessee State, I think they squeak by them. But on the SEC schedule, honestly, I don't see a win. I just don't. Tennessee, even maybe, could probably beat them like an overtime or something.
They have to go to Tennessee this year, so
they got to go on the road. No McDonald's bag for you. I think they probably drop that one. I go under just to be on the safe side. And one of the things that a lot of times I kind of disagree with him a little bit and give him a lot of shit. Walt Daptula up here in the upstate. Walt Daptula didn't understand, as I don't understand, why you fired, your defensive minded coach. I know you fired him because he lost ball games and you want to win more games. I get that. But instead of embracing the new and what is going on in college football, the advent of the offensive minded head coach, you hired basically another Derek Mason. You hire another a defensive coordinator. I mean, doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, you swapped what? I mean, it's just like a lateral move. You didn't do anything to upgrade the program. And yeah, I get it. This guy is a fucking alumnus. So what? That means that what he's used to losing. I mean, yeah, just I don't get it. This make any sense to me?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't understand. Vanderbilt's like the Duke job. If you got somebody that wants to be there, just give them a lifetime contract. If they really want to be there, like Derek Mason liked being at Vanderbilt. You know,
he did.
He was almost at the point of at Vanderbilt, like and he kind of looked like Ron Simmons, the WWE wrestler on the sideline. Like he gave zero fucks what people said about him running out there, running a young lady out there to kick for him. I mean, he just didn't give a shit. He was.
No, but a couple of years ago, they it really, 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 really upset the guys on the Mazad cast, which I mean, I can understand why it upset them, but I also took great delight in it, not because they lost or I have anything against Missouri. It's just I just thought it's fucking funny. I think a couple of them went to Nashville. And when they were like 4-1 or something, they fucking lost to Vanderbilt, who was damn winless. And but anyway, after that game was over, the young lady on the sideline that ran out there to interview Derek Mason, she's like, "Coach, you started 0-5. I mean, you know what? You know, and this team all of a sudden they come together today and pull off this huge win. And what do you have to say about that?" And he just looked at her. Like ice cold, like ice water in his veins, like he's like a serial killer to kill somebody. He's like, "No one can question our integrity. No one question our work ethic." He's like, "Anchor down. We are Vandy." And he turns around and just walks off the field. And I'm like, okay. he clearly liked being there. And I think that was a shitty move. Really did.
I want to take a second. Can I know it's late, but I want to find that just so we can watch it for a second. Let's see.
It was something along those lines. I mean, I'm paraphrasing there because that was something along those lines.
Vanderbilt. Okay, let's see if we can find a Vanderbilt upset. Yeah, let's see here. If I can find it here. Where he's like, let's see if I can find this really quick here. This is 11 months ago. A spirited post-game interview with SEC Network's Don. Yeah, here you go. Let's see if I can share this screen really quick here, because this is kind of funny. Maybe this is the one you're talking about, Jackpot. Let's see here. Share this with the people, because I think I remember this, but we shall see. Hold on here. There we go. Come on, play it. See if they're going to make me watch a video here. I don't want to see a video. Just play the damn clip. I'm
going to watch a commercial for Blue Chew.
Fucking Blue Chew. Blue Chew needs to sponsor the show, by the way. Come on. What the hell is going on with this? Play, fool. Anyway, it's going to play here in just a second. I think this is it. This was the Missouri post game. That's what you were talking about.
To the Commodores, yeah. Coach, you answered questions about your job security all week long, and this team comes out and upsets a ranked Missouri team. What are you feeling right now?
Well, first of all, you know, honor to God. You know, it's been a rough patch, man, but I told my team this, and I want everybody to understand this, okay? A lot of people want this job, so they think, but I'm the man that's built for this job. Every day, man, we grind. We grind. Don't question us. Don't question who we are, what we do, or how we play. We're Vanderbilt men. Commodores, Akron, down.
There you go.
I'm shocked that I've forgotten that. That's great. That's actually really funny. I didn't. Damn it, Jackpot! You got a great thing with that. Yeah, all right,
they should be ashamed of that. I mean, that's.
All right, I'm going to open up the phone line for just a minute here, and then we're going to get out of here. 803-470. Let me put the number down here, and then we'll get out of here. I want to make sure that every show we at least give people the opportunity to call into the program, as I'm firing up the phone system now because, you know, we want to be an interactive show, and we've kind of ranted and railed here for a little bit, so we'll take about 10 minutes here. And,
I mean, would you not run through a brick wall for him?
Fuck yeah.
And yeah, now he's now he's the DC at fucking Auburn.
Well, now he's got a damn, you know, he's probably over there laughing at fucking Bobo. He's like, Bobo, fucking idiot. Bobo the clown over there trying to run practice plays against us. How the hell is that going to work? 803-470-2905. If you want to join the show, we'll take your call this evening. Right here on the Rob and Kale podcast. If you would like to join us, 803-470-2905. We're hoping to get more and more folks involved with the show. I'm hoping that during football season, Jackpot, that our phone lines will be up and running. Silly, you can call that number pretty much any time, and we'll play your voicemails back. We don't give a shit.
Yeah, I'd love to. Like I said, some of the podcasts are not podcasts. Some of the YouTube shows, like the Uncle Lou, and that—I mean, they're built on the viewer engagement and the call-ins. Ours is us running our mouths, but yeah, I love that. I once sat on a hole for 42 minutes to talk on Uncle Lou's show.
We should get you I mean, Uncle Lou's probably going to call you a traitor for cheering for Clemson on September the 4th.
Well, I mean, it's not easy to go against your friends, but I mean, sometimes, you know, it is what it is.
I'm just waiting for Jackpot to be like, I was just a whatever the hell it is. What is it when you cheer for a team just so you can give them the funk? Jackpot's trying to rub some of that funk on Clemson.
Oh, the
reverse psychology.
Reverse psychology. No, none of that. None of that this time. This is
I'm not playing that shit. It's the first time I've ever heard you cheering anything for Clemson. Clemson could be playing freaking, you know, anyone else in fucking hopscotch, and Jackpot's rooting for the damn whoever it is playing against them. I mean, seriously. 803-470-2905.
I mean, there is. When that kid decided to sign with Georgia, fuck him. Fuck. No, just put a bad taste in my mouth. And then when I saw that Cheshire cat grin, shit eating grin, on that coaching staff,
Oh, and by the way, that same shit eater that was tweeting out baseball scores of, Georgia wins over South Carolina, retweeting that. Then, you know what? I fucking Gamecocks came back and won those two games. Fuck him. He didn't tweet anymore. Motherfucker.
No, he didn't. I don't even follow him on Twitter anymore because I don't care to hear anything that he has to say.
Well,
I spent 5 years of my life caring what he had to say, I guess, kind of, shows, you know, what a pathetic, sad individual I am. But that's okay.
803-470-2905. 803-470-2905. That is the number to dial if you want to join the show this evening. 803-470-2905. When we do Wednesday Jackpot, we are going to do the ACC. So we'll go up and down the schedule for the ACC. We'll do Clemson. We'll do Boston College, North Carolina. All those teams from the ACC, which doing my research this year, it's like, It's like right now I'm going through my stuff and I'm trying to figure out who they're going to invite to ACC kickoff, if they're going to have it in Charlotte this year. And it's like, what players do I want to interview, et cetera? And it's like, there really isn't anybody that I look at other than, I mean, I don't know if they're going to bring Sam Howell or not. I don't know if they're going to bring the quarterback from Boston College. I'll get the two Clemson players that come through, but there really isn't a player that maybe Florida State's McKenzie Milton, if he's the guy that's the QB for them, that might be something if they bring him, but I don't know, man. There really isn't anybody that sets the world on.
You don't think Florida State's going to bring old Jamie Robinson? Or what's his name? Oh, my God. What's that D lineman?
The what?
Keir Thomas.
Yeah. If I have to interview him.
Why don't you hold your dicks for a minute? We'll be done here in a second.
That's about how long that'll be. It's like the conference gives you some players that they want you to interview, you know, because of whatever. But it's like some of them I'm like, ugh.
Shout out, though, to Florida State. I mean, picked up the best three players in the transfer portal. So,
Brock wants to know, how did I meet Kale? I met Kale through – Kale and I used to run smack at each other on Facebook for the longest period of time.
Yep.
So, yeah. That's how I met Jackpot. Jackpot's funny. Like, you know, we talk to each other two nights a week or whatever, but we don't really, it's like we can't be in the same room together. We were going to do a live show last fall, but COVID kind of fucked us a little bit. And we normally do a charity show every year. I'm trying to figure out something with that.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, we're going to work something out on that. All right. Well, 803-470-2905 is the number to dial. I think we're going to get out of here, Jackpot. It's been a good show. We will do the ACC on Wednesday, and then we might do some God, there's other conferences we'll look at too. So we'll look at some other teams the following, but we're almost down to, what is it, 125 days now, I think it is, till we get some actual football going here. So
I know from like today it's like 3 months until I take my summer vacation. So that's like 90 days, right? So yeah, then another 120-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you're about right. About hit that nail right on the head.
Yeah, that's gonna be some good stuff. All right, Jackpot, it's been a good show, man. We'll have up our listings there at robinkaleshow.com. You can go and check out who we had as far as the over and under there. And I'm going to have them all there. That way we can have some accountability towards the end of the season. You guys. Oh, what the fuck was that? You nasty bastard. What? We're in the show with that. Oh, my God.